welcome to the Bonsai Stuff Podcast. This is a podcast made for and by bonsai lovers. I'm Scott Martin from Bonsai Matsu, as you may be well aware. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, then at this time of the year, you're heading towards summer, and I say you are extremely lucky in my eyes. In the Southern Hemisphere, where I'm from, in Melbourne, Australia, it's getting chilly, it's getting cold. Overnight temperatures are starting to drop. The leaves have almost all gone now from the deciduous, only a few left hanging around. I only got a really short period of time now, another week or so, until the calendar ticks over and says, hey, it's no longer autumn, it's now winter. Time to look at starting to remove fertilizer. Time to start cleaning up a lot more around the benches, as seems to be a daily task at the moment, scooping up leaves and cleaning leaves from trees and around benches and that sort of stuff. But it's also a time for me to be working heavily on my pines. I love this late autumn, early winter time to work on my pines before they wake up and start growing again. Seems like such a really short period of time when you've got so many trees lined up to do, but it's very important. So I want to focus this podcast on that. But as I was going through writing my notes for the podcast, I thought, well, a lot of this applies to all trees when you're working on it. So I'm going to generalize it, but it's in the back of my head. This is for everyone out there that works on pine trees as you're heading in towards the winter period. I want to go through a big list that I have that I developed as I was working through trees recently, because I can't tell you how many trees I've worked on already, and I definitely can't tell you how many trees I've got lined up in front of me that I need to do. So I've got to knuckle down. I've really got to focus a bit more and start plucking a lot more needles than what I have been in the past. And the other thing I wanted to talk about on the podcast is watering. This is a really hard time of the year to get your watering right. As we get in towards winter, I find it's a lot easier. As we head into spring, it's a lot easier. So I find that this autumn period, especially towards the latter part of it, is difficult. So I wanted to have a bit of a chat about that on the podcast too. So let's get into it. So now's a perfect time for working on your pines, as far as I'm concerned. They're heading towards dormancy. The work that was done with decandling has settled. They've pushed out their growth. They're set. You know what you've got to remove. You can see what's grown too long. You can see what's too small. You can see the structure of the tree a bit easier and not have to worry about, is it going to change if I do this work in a week's time? Is it going to continue growing? Because that's stopped. So it's time to work through what I consider to be my checklist as I was working through trees. And the first one, which applies to every tree that I work with, every single tree, if it's too long, cut it off. Now that sounds really simple, but it's a very common thing for trees to be left with branches that are too long and divisions that keep pushing out further and further and further. And I'll swing back to talk about the bud conveyor that brought up, you know, a few weeks ago in the podcast. And that's where, at times like this, that's where that's really, really important. But we'll come back to those inner buds a little bit later on. But if you're looking at a branch and it's sitting out too long now, it might have a lot of structure on it. It might have been developed over years and years and years. But if that thing is too long, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to make the width of the pad or the width of the profile of the bonsai too big. It's just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So you need to do something about it sooner or later. You can't leave it. So my advice is, if you have a look around that area, that vicinity where that branch that's too long resides, have a look and see if something else can fold in and take its place. You know, if you've got, you know, three branches, the center one's the one that's too long, can the ones that are on left and right side of that pad be slightly widened and pushed in a little bit to take the place? And look at it, seriously, would you miss it? Would you honest to God miss it? I had a tree I was working on in the workshop the other day, a white pine. Had a long branch. As soon as I saw it, I went, yeah, that's got to go. It's long and skinny and thin and all the foliage is on the outside, and made the tree look really nice, made it look beautiful. customer comes in, has a quick look at it and goes, oh, that looks fantastic. I love it. Oh, where's that long branch? Did you keep it? What did you do with it? And he had to walk around the tree and he goes, oh, that's where it was. Don't even miss it. So if you're clever about how you fill in the space, if you look for some gaps in the foliage, don't try and run the foliage pads together all the time. Try and get a bit of a break in them where you've got, one pad, try and make it three pads. That certainly helps with that shortening of the length and removing the long stuff. But if it's too long now, it's only going to get worse. So you're going to need to do something about it. So that's the first thing that came across my mind when I was thinking about working on pines at the moment. The second is, if it's too dense, you've got to thin it. If you're working through an area, if you sit back and look at the tree from a distance, and I love that. I love that distance looking at my bonsai. When you work on them, you work so close to them, you're intimate, you're within centimetres of these things that, to sit back and go maybe 3 or 4 metres back from the tree and look at it from a distance and sit down at different angles and spin the tree around. I've talked about perspectives before, but I find it's really, really important. And this one, if it's too dense, thin it, comes from that. So when I sit back and I look at the trees from a distance, you can see lumps of foliage where there's too much going on, especially with needle clusters. Like it makes it so easy to highlight in and look at it and go, that area right there. And you can point with your finger and sort of have a look at the rest of the tree and go, oh, there seems to be like a lot of light getting through in those other areas. The other areas look a lot fluffier, like a lot more open, but that area there looks too dense. And my advice to you is, if you get to that area and it's too dense, if you look at it from a distance and you can see that visibly that it is too dense, then I guarantee you that's going to get worse as well. That's what this work we're doing now is. We're plucking, we're bud selecting, we're wiring, we're shaping. Yes, we want them to look beautiful. We want them to look magnificent. But it's got a real functional purpose as well, where we're letting light and air into those inner areas so you can get those buds growing in that area. By having it nice and tight and dense like that, more than likely going to get spiders in there or caterpillars or something like that, and it's going to drag all that foliage together and start, you'll end up with big areas of dieback in those areas where the needles will start going brown, and it's just not what you want. So if it's too dense, you've got to make sure that you thin it. Now, the next one I want to move on to is, if it's too weak or if it's weak, do less. Okay, and a flip side of that one, if it's strong, do more. And that's a really simplistic approach, but it works. It really does. So if you're looking at an area, if you're going through and you're plucking and you're bud selecting and you're going like crazy, just have in the back of your mind that as you're working your way through the trees, if you get to an area and you see the bud size significantly change, if you see the needle quality change, like it goes from being very uniform and nice to a bit scrappy and the buds in there look really small and it just doesn't look or feel like when you're touching that branch, you're feeling those branches, they feel a bit limp, they feel a bit lacking in vitality. Do less. Leave more needles. Leave more needles in the areas that are weaker. The areas that are stronger, do more. Okay, so if you get to an area and you can see there are buds everywhere on this thing, it's really pushed out, the decandling's punched out, 6-7 new little buds growing from that area. If there's just needles everywhere on this thing, you have to do more. You have to balance the scales. All right, so the strong areas have to be turned down and the weak areas have to be turned up. And the way we can do that is by needle reduction or leaving more needles in the weaker areas. So strong areas, pull down the volume of needles in those weak areas, leave more needles. So really simplistically, if it's weak, do less. If it's strong, do more. Really, really simple, really easy. The next one that I moved on with, or I thought about, was protecting the inner buds. Now, you have to be very, very careful when you're wiring and styling and shaping and pruning and plucking and all that sort of stuff, because you can get into, it sounds a bit silly if you've only got one or two of these black pines, but if you've got hundreds to do, you can get into a frenzy. It's like a shark attack. You just pluck like crazy and you just think, I've got to get through all these trees, and your focus is elsewhere. Your focus isn't on what's in front of you. Your focus is on what needs to be done elsewhere around the yard or around the home to make sure that you can keep up with all these trees, because it's a deadline, right? You've got to have these things done before winter really, really kicks into that start of the growing season for repotting. So there's a real brick wall coming up with this stuff for me. So I know that I can get into this bit of frenzy where I'm just plucking. But you've got to protect the inner buds. And if everything that you do when you're working your tree, not only with – I'm talking at the moment about your care and handling and how you're managing your tree. But everything you do, and this applies to every single bonsai you've got in your yard, protect the inner buds, all right? The bud conveyor. That's one of the most important. I was going to say the most important, but it's not. There's a lot of important things, but it's one of the most important things that we need with our bonsai. It allows us to maintain our design simplicity, and it allows us to push things back. It allows us to gives us more options. It allows us to fulfill plans that we've got for our trees. So protecting those inner buds with everything you do, you know, plucking more needles to let more sunlight get into those areas. If it's a weak area, allow more needles to stay in those areas, so it'll help with increasing the strength. The stronger a tree is, the more you're going to get backbutting wise. So keep those inner buds in your thoughts every single second that you work on any of your trees. When you're pruning deciduous and you're cutting back, when you're working with natives, whatever it is, inner buds apply to every single tree that you have. It doesn't matter what the species, what the variety you need. If you've got a massive cascading whatever and you think the foliage is a long way away, the inner buds apply to the branches as they come from the trunk line. So that's where we don't want everything getting long. We want everything nice and compact and to stay in there. The next thing, which probably should be number one on the list, is do a health assessment. If you look at your tree and you think, hey, this doesn't look quite right, then change your approach. If it looks like it's weaker, if it looks like it hasn't responded quite so well from decandling, if it's a black pine or a red pine that we're talking about, if it hasn't grown quite the way it should have, maybe, you know, it wasn't repotted when it should have been, which is normally the case. Maybe, you know, there's some kind of an issue with this thing. It might be infested with bugs at the moment when you're looking at the tree. If that's the case, then reassess. Don't just plow into doing the usual plucking every needle, the old ones, leave a couple of the old ones and bud select back to two. Maybe have a look at it and think, yeah, maybe I'll just give it a light cleanup. I'll let a little bit more light and air in there, clean the underneath side of the pads, sort out those pests, however you're going to do it, and get the tree back into some form of health by considering repotting as opposed to flogging the hell out of it and wiring the thing within an inch of its life and putting it under more stress at this point in time, when all it's going to do is start to push the tree back further than actually allow it to come forward. So the health assessment, I do it on every single tree. As they come into the workshop, first thing I do is spend a couple of minutes walking around, have a look at the tree going, yep, because on the bench I might look at them and go, yep, looks good. But I never get that close and personal with them until they're actually in the workshop, when I can actually look at the tree one-on-one, give it my full attention and spin it around, have a look at all the different areas and go, oh, there's been some dieback in there. That's no good. Oh, look at that area. It hasn't probably grown as well as what it should have, or that area is really, really strong. Look how much that's popped out past the silhouette. I'm going to have to do something about that. But the health assessment for me is priority one and gets done every single time before I start working on the tree. Don't do it when you've started working. Do it before you start working. The best advice that I can give you when you're working on a bonsai, as they get more and more developed and they get a lot more structure, a lot more branches, a lot more choices, bigger, right? Even if it's a little tree, they still get a lot bigger because that, you know, that one to two buds double effectively year on year thereabouts. But every year the tree gets a lot more work to do on it than what it had the previous year. And as you get years and years and years down the track, there's a lot of work to be done. It doubles. It it just gets to be significant. Rather than being a couple of minutes, flick them through as fast as you can, you suddenly have to look at them and you've got to allocate time in your calendar to go and needle pluck and bud select because there's so much damn work to do. My best advice I can give you when you're working on a tree like that is work in zones. Okay, put on the horse blinkers, focus on one branch at a time. For me, I'll actually isolate the branch. Like I'll get my hand in there. If you're working with needles, as I've mentioned before in a couple of podcasts ago, when you're working with needles, it's up and under. So don't fight the direction of the needles. Come from up and under as you work. Isolate the branch that you're working on. I actually physically put my hand in around it. So all I'm looking at is that one branch. And then when I'm finished that one, take my hand out and I'll go to the next branch and I'll work on that and I'll just keep going round and round and round. What you don't want to do is you don't want to jump around. You don't want to work on this bud, then that branch and keep spinning the tree around because there'll be a hell of a lot of needles on the ground. The tree will look like a half-plucked chook and you won't actually feel like you're achieving anything. For me, my structure is always start at the apex when I'm cleaning, let gravity help you get rid of the rubbish. But As I work through, I'll work my way, I'll spin the tree, you know, clockwise or anti-clockwise, whatever it is on the turntable. I'll work one branch at a time, working my way through from the very tip of the apex, working down to where I can see the break in the apex on the tree and just keep going around. Then I'll spin the tree slightly a little bit more and I'll grab the next branch at the top, do that one, do the one below it and work my way down the apex until I keep spinning around. Then I go, right, apex is done. And at those points in time, I actually sit back and I go, hey, it looks good. You're looking good. And I sit back and I go and have a walk from a distance, check out the rest of the tree and I go, you know what, it's really satisfying being able to see it. It's the small things that I enjoy in life. It's really satisfying to be able to see what you've done. When you just pluck a little bit here, a little bit there, it's disheartening. I've done it. I know. It's easy to do because you'll pluck an ear and go, oh, that looks okay. Next one, look at that one. That one's really big. Or I'll go to that one. Oh, look at that there. That's too thick. I've got to thin that one out. You know, I've got to cut that back. I've got to make it less dense, whatever it is. But you feel like and you literally don't achieve as much as what you'd like to do. The overall time will be the same in front of the tree because there's only so many needles you can pluck, but I find it's really inefficient and you'll just waste your time, you get frustrated. So work in zones. I work from once I've got the apex done, then I work in height of the branches as I go around. Doesn't matter where they are on the tree. You know, if the next highest branch is the back branch, I'll spin the tree around to that area. I'll isolate where that branch comes out of the trunk. And then from there, I'll look at the individual. Let's say there's a couple of pads coming off that one branch or it might be one big pad, whatever it is. I'll start on one side of the pad from the inner area and I'll work my way out. If I find that it's too dense getting to that inner area, then start from the tip and work your way back into the tree. Either way works, but just have it like you're mowing a lawn. You know, you're working one area and you zigzag, you know, you keep going backwards and forwards until you've completed the whole yard. If you just sort of randomly mow different spots on the lawn, then, you know, I don't know, it'd look terrible, but I'm not sure you'd get it all as well. I'm sure there'd be little bits and pieces that'd be missed. So think about that as you're working, you know, let's say you start on the left side or the right side of the pad. Start at the front, work your way all the way to the back, then come back to the front again, move a little bit further across, then work your way right the way through. Don't zigzag around on that pad because even that'll feel like it's going to take forever. So just work in zones or quadrants and just keep working your way down. And it sounds crazy, but I actually set myself little targets. When I do runs, I go for a run and I know it's a longer run or something like that and I start to feel myself getting tired or starting to hit the point where I think, you know, this is starting to not be fun anymore, I set myself a target and I'll say, you know what, just run smoothly, focus on nothing but your breathing, listen to the song that's going on in your head until you get to that point up there. See that one you can see in the distance? Just run to that car park or that tree or, you know, that whatever it is, the baseball stadium. Just run there and then from there we'll set another one. And I can tell you that I know I play mind games with myself, but I get to that point where it takes the pressure off because it's like you've only got to go to there. Like it's not that far. And then when you get there, I might have another, you know, 10 Ks to go on my run, but I know that if I just get to that car park or to that tree, then I know it'll be okay because it's not very far. I can see it in the distance. And when I work on my bonsai, and I've got a lot of branches, I've got a lot of work to do, I do exactly the same thing. I'll say, you know what, just look at this branch, because just do this one and then this little one in here and then that one, and then stop and think about the next branch after that. And it's like I feel the pressure come off me and the weight come off me, and I can work a lot more accurately because all I'm focusing on is that one branch. If I looked at the entire tree and went, I've got about 20 hours worth of work here in front of me of needle plucking and bud selecting and wiring, how am I going to get this done? Like, there's no way I can get this done. Whereas if I look at it and go, just do this part, and I go, oh, that's pretty cool. There's something, like I'm listening to, you know, music on the radio, or, you know, I've got something playing in the background, I've got surfing on TV playing in the background or whatever it is, then it's just like, well, this won't take long. This is only probably 20 minutes work. That's okay, you can do that. And then when I finish that one, I go to the next one and go, okay, so just think about this branch. That's all you have to worry about. It's just this one little branch in front of you. It's like, and it sounds stupid that I've got to give myself a pep talk and keep yourself going, but it's a trick that I use for myself that, honest to God, really helps me work at my premium for that one little branch. And if you work to your best on every single branch that you've got on that tree, by the time you're finished, you know what? You've got a brilliant looking little bonsai, and it works for me. All right, so moving on to the next one. When you're thinking about, and this is specifically for pines, all right, and all kinds of pines that you're working with, but you know, black pines and red pines are the ones. Black pines specifically is what I'm thinking about. When you're plucking or you're thinning needles out, think about the needle direction that's growing. All right. Some people work to reducing to a certain number of needles. I don't. I work to a needle density, which I find works really well for me and for my pines. So in Japan when I was there, and this got brought up on YouTube, my YouTube channel the other day, someone, you know, it was talking about number of needles to keep in strong, weak and medium strength areas on the tree. And, yep, agreed. Did the same thing in Japan where they'd work to a certain number of needles. I tried doing it in my yard a long time ago, and I just found it really weak in the trees. Just our climate, my environment that I've got might be different for you, and I'm not saying that everyone that listens to this podcast at any place around the world needs to do what I do, but I'm just telling you what I do. I work to a needle density, and I know that sounds very vague, and it is, but it might be that the needle density is around, I hate using a number for this stuff because it gets thrown back at me, but it might be sort of 12 pair of needles or something like that around the tip of the bud. And I find for me that allows enough strength to stay into the different areas of the tree that it means that they can grow really well. And it's something that I've tested over a lot of years, and it's worked really well. And it might be in the strong areas. Here comes the disclaimer. Strong areas might get a few less. Weaker areas might get a few more. But really, that's why I sit back and I look at my trees, because it's the needle density that I'm focusing on as opposed to doing that strict count of the number of needles that are in there. Anyway, you've still got to pluck needles regardless, right? So you've got to make sure that you focus on the needles that you leave are the really important ones. So if you've got, you know, let's say there's a couple of pairs of needles sitting around, and you know, you've got two buds sitting side by side, and the needles are crossing into each other, and it just looks like a scrappy mess, pluck the needles that are growing in towards the other bud. All right. So that way the ones that are left are going up and out nicely from each of the buds, and it doesn't look like they conflict with each other, but it looks like they sit there very uniformly side by side. If you've got a needle that's got a twist on it or a curl or a flick or whatever, pluck it out. Leave the ones that are nice and straight and strong. You don't, when I talk about that needle cluster that I leave, they don't all need to be the ones that are closest to the bud at the tip of the branch. They can sort of be somewhere back along there. So if I find one that's really close to the bud has got a bit of a kink in it or a twist or a distortion, or it's been broken, or a pest has bitten it or whatever's happened to it, but it looks ugly, then I'll pluck that one and I'll leave the ones in behind it that are really nice. So you really need to think about the direction of the needles that you're leaving as opposed to the ones that you're cutting. Think about the ones that you're leaving and make sure that they look as good as they possibly can, because it'll save you time. You won't need to wire everything to the tip of the branch and then manipulate it and shape it so those needles don't grow into each other and look, you know, look a lot nicer. I find that as it gets more advanced, if I'm really selective with my needle plucking, then that wiring sort of takes a bit of a backward step for me because everything looks quite nice as it is. There is time. You will need to wire pines, but I find that that job becomes less significant for me because I can choose to leave buds or leave the needles around the bud, which are growing in a better direction than those that aren't. So brings me on to the next one. Watch out for needle buds. Okay, now needle buds, like the bud extends or starts to grow in between two needles. They're great. I love them. They often pop up at the most incorrect of spots, under branches, in branch junctions, but they do come up in spots where you can use them and the bud conveyor can kick in and they become a future branch. But let me just tell you a little bit about them. Those needle buds, as they grow out, what you'll find is the needles that they grow out of the middle of get very thick and very coarse, and it looks like as the bud starts to grow, the base of the bud, the base of the new branch that's starting to grow, is really, really weak, and it's not held onto the branch by very much at all. So if you get into that automatic zone where you're just plucking these needles, I guarantee you'll see these big, long, thick, dark green needles and you'll go, that's too long, I've got to get rid of that. And you'll grab it and pluck it and you'll look at it and go, hang on, that was actually a needle bud. There was a future branch there that I've just plucked off because those needles are too long. As the branch starts to grow and starts to get more advanced, and it could be a year down the track, it might be, you know, 18 months, something like that, or it could be 6 months. As you start to look at it, those needles will stay there. They get very thick, they actually have a different feel to them. If you find one, have a bit of a rub on it and you'll feel that they are very thick and very coarse, and they're designed to protect that bud until the bud's strong enough to take off and do its own thing. They can get quite long as well. So you can identify them when you're looking along a branch. They'll be thick, they'll be robust, they'll be furry, and they'll have something growing out of the middle of them as opposed to all the other ones. As you're going along and you're plucking, sometimes you'll feel that as you're removing needles, you'll go to grab a needle and you'll go to pull it, and then all of a sudden there's resistance. Stop, because there's a pretty good chance that it's going to be a needle bud that you're tugging on. And my advice to you is, as that branch starts to grow and as it gets thick enough, don't do it when they're tiny little buds, but when you can see that there's a nice, good, strong bud growing in there and there's lots of needles coming out of the center of it, get your scissors and just shorten back to sort of 1 or 2 mil, the needles on the outside of the needle bud, just shorten them, get them out of the way. And that way, I find for me, it removes one, some really long, unsightly needles, but it stops me in the future from trying to pluck those needles out because they set really hard. It's very difficult for you to be able to get them out, and you'll often pull them the wrong way, which means you're going to be tearing at the base of the new branch that's growing there and do some damage on either side, which is, again, not very good. So I find that by cutting them and just leaving them be somewhere down the track, it could be a while, but they'll go brown, they'll fall off, and it's not something you have to worry about. But, yeah, be very, very careful of the needle buds, because I've done more removal of needle buds than I've kept because of that rampant plucking of things and not focusing too heavily on what I'm doing. So it's just a tip from me to you. Let's wrap up this section of the podcast by just a couple more things that I want you to focus on. So we talked about the needle buds and the difficulty with plucking. Sometimes your pines, especially if they've been allowed to grow and they haven't been decandled and the needles are older on the tree, but not too old, or sometimes it's just a variety of the tree that you have put in front of you. When you're plucking those needles, you can find that there's a strong piece of resistance. Like, you'll go to pluck them, it's like, you got to keep plucking these things, buddy. It feels like you're pulling, buddy. Anyway, it just seems like a lot of hard work. My advice to you is, if you've got the variety that is tough like that, just pluck them one needle at a time. If you can get in there and just grab one of the two needles from the sheath and pull it out, then it comes out a lot easier. So it takes twice as long, obviously. It's not ideal, but it certainly frees you up. if your tree's small, you can persist with it and you can struggle on and you can keep doing the hard pluck of these things to get them off. Be careful you don't start tearing the branch when you're pulling these things off, because often you'll start, rather than plucking in the direction the needles are growing, you'll start tearing them off, which means you're doing more damage than good. So when you'll find that if you do that too many times, you wake up the next day and your hand will be so sore from plucking needles. Anyway, if you do them just one at a time, I found that's a really nice way to get around these things. That's a lot quicker, and you can be a lot more precise with what you're doing by taking one at a time. Next thing, I like to have a coffee. In fact, as soon as I finish this section of the podcast, I'm going to sip on the steaming hot coffee that's sitting in front of me. Use the coffee as a reward. All right, use a break. If you're looking at a tree, and I'm talking about the big ones here, the ones with lots of branches, lots of needles, and lots of work on them, set yourself a target. Like I talked about before, when I run, I set a target for myself, I achieve it, and I'm happy with myself, and then I set another one. I like to use the coffee break as a bit of a break. I found myself doing it yesterday. In fact, I was working on a big tree, plucking away. Yeah, doing all the things I talked about. Yeah, isolate, you know, pluck one needle at a time. If it's weak, leave it. If it's too strong, you know, do more with it, blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that I've just talked about. I got to one point and I went, whew, that one's done. All right, stopped and had a coffee, went for a walk around the yard, looked at some trees, came back, and then I got into it and I went, actually, that's something I should talk about, because you need to reward yourself along the way. And for me, it's having a break, or it might be to set myself a target for the night. Now, if I'm working late in the workshop, you know, you've come home from work and had family tea, and then you go, right, I'm going to go and work on my trees, and sort of feels like you've got far better things in your world to be doing than plucking needles on your tree. Or maybe you really want to, but you're exhausted. Don't work yourself into the ground. Set yourself a target and say, all right, I'm going to do these three branches, then I'm going to call it quits, because then tomorrow night I'll come and do the other three, and then I'm finished. So over the next two nights I'll get this tree done. But set yourself something as a target, and I like to use a coffee break where I can work my bum off, I can get it done as well as I possibly can, because I know that as I'm working through, I'm going to go and get myself a coffee after this, and I'm going to get, you know, 5-10 minutes off, and then I'm going to get back into it again. So set yourself the little targets. And like I said, if you've got tiny little trees you're looking at and thinking, huh, what's he talking about a break for? This thing's going to take me 10 minutes. I'm talking about the trees that take you hours, days, in fact, that as you're working through them, it's like you're almost a bit adverse to starting the things, because it's going to take so bloody long to work your way through them. They're the ones. Set yourself a target. Have a little coffee break on the way through. I guarantee it'll make you feel a hell of a lot better. All right. So the last thing, I've saved what I believe to be the best for last for you guys and gals. Anywhere around the world, anyone that has any kind of needle variety, bonsai, I was going to get this put on a t-shirt. I was going to get it tattooed to my arm. I was going to shout this from the rafters when I came across this one. All right. I want you to respect the needle. That's the catch cry that anyone with pines, anyone with cedars, anyone with anything with a needle on it, I want you to respect the needle. All right. And that applies to every single thing that you do with your needle-based pine. But we're talking about black pines at the moment, because that's what I'm neck deep in, and white pines and Mugos and Scots. I just want you to respect the needle, how you handle the tree, how you pluck the needle from the tree, how you remove buds, how you wire the tree. Every single thing that you do with a pine or a needle-based variety, respect the needle. Now, you can maybe think about in your own head why I'm not going to get that put onto a t-shirt and start walking around in suburbia. But I think that if you can respect the needle, if you are a gentle, a respectful, mindful, then your trees and your enjoyment of your bonsai will go a lot further. A lot of people that I've seen work with needle variety trees, they're a little bit rough, and they sort of think more about the end result or the next step than the moment they have in front of them, which is the most important part as far as I'm concerned, right here and right now. That's the journey. That's what bonsai is. It's what you're doing right now with your trees. It's not what's going to happen. What the plan for the future is ultimately important, but the enjoyment, the best part of bonsai is right here, right now, with whatever it is that you've got in front of you, whatever stage your trees are at this very second. That's the shit. That's what we want. That's the ride. So respect the needle. Make sure that you're mindful. I've said it before, if you feel yourself getting pricked, if you look back on a tree and you see broken needles in a few weeks' time, then you can't possibly have respected the needle. Trees that I've worked on that I look at and I see, you know, broken needles from 12 months ago, it's like that's what I'm talking about. And that's where it came from. You know, I look at trees and think, well, you know, those needles are still here 12 months later. They've still got the broken bits on them. And the tree just looks scrappy. It looks weak. And the tree's not weak. The tree's got nothing wrong with it. It's just that it wasn't respected when it was worked on last time. And if you feel that you don't have the skill to not, you know, respect the needle, if you feel that the only way to wire a pine is to effectively start breaking some of the needles, then really you've got to do something else about it. You've got to improve your skill level somewhere else to the point that you can effectively manage that and get it right. That's as simple as it is. I hope you found that little mind checklist helpful. And like I said, it applies not only to your pines, a lot of them apply to everything. You know, if it's too long, cut it back. Too dense, thin it out. That applies to every single tree that you've got in your yard. So hope that was enjoyable. And don't forget, respect the needle. All right, want to move on to the last section of the podcast and talk about watering at this time of the year. It's a really common thing that I'm getting asked about, and to be honest, there's no hard and fast rule with this, but I just want to talk about a few examples of where I'm at with things so you don't overwater, you don't underwater, and you hopefully get it just right. You know, it'd be nice if we all could, because I know it's really difficult for me. So a couple of different species I want to talk about. Natives. My natives are still being watered almost every day. Probably every day and a half at the moment, but they, you know, the vast majority, I've still got my Melaleucas, which are pushing new growth, so they're definitely taking up more water. Clystemons, they're not taking up anywhere near as much as what they were. Banksia, it seems to be stabilizing a little bit at the moment as well, not quite growing as much. So I can't put all the natives into one basket, but that's where they're at. And I want to use this so, you know, maybe I know the temperatures are different all around the country. So depending on, you know, if you're listening in Perth or Sydney or Brisbane or Tassie, whatever, you have to vary it yourself. But just I wanted to talk about my experience and what I'm going through here. And an example that I've got is I took a black pine. Now, I've been looking at a few of my pines thinking they're still taking up the water. Like there's some days where I walk out and go, oh, it's been sort of a day and they're looking a little bit dry. What the factor is that has a massive part to play in this is the wind. And we've had, you know, very little rain in Melbourne, a few drops here and there, but nothing significant. It's been a really nice dry autumn, which means that the leaves on the trees have been just magnificent this year. And like I said, I went up to regional Victoria and spoke to people there, and they said exactly the same thing, that the drier autumn has really helped to push on the colouring of the leaves, and the cold temperatures coming in a little bit earlier as well have helped. So from that point of view, it's been great, but it means that it's sort of difficult because you can't just leave your – you can't set and forget your trees. You need to keep an eye on them. So I had this black pine that I took out of the environment. I put it into the workshop and I started working on it, and – so I've got my trees that are out on the bench, and I've got trees that are inside the workshop. And the tree that was inside the workshop was in there for 3 days. Like it was a lot of work to get done, and it was off and on. I was busy with other things, so it just stayed in there. And I would go to the soil on this tree and think, oh, it's inside, it's dry. I didn't have the heater running, but it's been dry. The sun's been coming through the window. this thing must be dry now. I must have to water this thing because I looked at the ones on the bench and went, no, they look okay. Like, you know, every 2 days to 3 days about, you know, they look to be okay. This thing in the workshop stayed wet. It was sopping, not sopping wet, but it was wet to the touch that you'd push on the soil, put your finger up on your thumb, and you'd see the water on your finger. And that's after 3 days of sitting in the workshop. So it's like, oh, okay. I worked the tree, made it look nice, finished it, and I thought I'll put it back on the bench. Went, no, I'll just give it one more day in here. And left it inside the workshop, and 4 days, still didn't need water. It was still wet. So even though I think the soil might appear to be getting drier on the outside area, might be worthwhile using those moisture meters and just plugging them in and just having a feel to see if the tree is on the dry or the wet side, because you might find that's just the very top layer or whatever it is that you've got on the soil surface that's making you think that the trees are taking up the water, because everything's slowing down. Everything's heading towards dormancy now. The growth is stopping. The water transpiration's starting to reduce. Daylight hours are getting shorter and shorter. The whole system's getting ready for a bit of a rest now. So my watering on my pines is sort of at best every 2 to 3 days thereabouts, and my deciduous, again, that's another whole bag to look at, because some have lost their leaves completely, like they're completely starkers, and others that I look at that are maybe in more sheltered spots that maybe stay a little bit wetter, maybe there are more trees that are in development that are tucked away a bit more in my yard, they're holding on to their leaves, but are they taking up the water? They're nowhere near as much as what they were. So it's time for me now to start transitioning some of the trees that have got their leaves into the open area, because they've got to, you know, I want them to go into dormancy. I don't want them to hang on to their leaves going into the winter period. So watering for me now is varying between, you know, daily on some of my natives to probably 3-4 days for the rest of it. And I expect it'll stay like that for another couple of weeks and see what winter brings. Like I've mentioned, in Melbourne, it feels like when it says it's winter on the calendar, bang, it's it's winter in the environment as well. So I'm expecting nothing different as I look around. My telltale is this enormous, god-awful pin oak that I've got that drops a squillion leaves in the backyard, and that's down to its last couple of percent of leaves now, thank goodness. So it's getting less and less. It's getting towards dormancy. So the watering side of things, yes, it's difficult. I wouldn't suggest using an automated system with a timer on it that you just keep ploughing water into your trees on a regular basis. I'd be starting to look at them individually and look at the trees themselves and let them tell you. You know, some of my Melaleucas I've allowed to grow a little bit more. I don't like to prune them at this stage. I'm letting them push out their growth, and then when it gets towards the spring period, I'll give them a bit of a cut. But if they still look like they're growing, then they're obviously sucking up the water. If they look like they're stopping, then they'll be using less. So don't just say that's a native, I need to water it every single day. Maybe just do the assessment. Just have a walk around the yard. Just be on it a little bit more, and don't just keep dumping water on these things. Just be a bit more clever about it, and just see what the trees need. Well, that's it, folks. I hope you stay rugged up if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, get those shorts on and get outside and think of me shivering with my beanie on as I record this podcast. Nah, I'm just joking. It's not that bad. But I hope that helps. I hope it was an interesting podcast for you. I really enjoyed it. I always find these things almost therapeutic for myself when you have to – like a big part of what I do is I try and help and educate and make the path a bit smoother for everybody that I come across, and make it that you can get to where you want to get to in your personal bonsai journey a lot quicker and a lot easier. And to do that, I've got to be able to stop and sit back and go, well, you know, what is it, you know, what do you enjoy? And if you enjoy it, why do you enjoy it? And what are you doing? And how are you doing it? And I do this big self-assessment, and that's how I get to develop my courses and how I think about how I can communicate with somebody and how I can pass across the message. Because it's one thing to be to be good at something, but it's another thing to get other people to be really good at what they're doing. And that's what I sort of pride myself on, is that notion that I can pass across as much as I can. And that takes things like this podcast when I'm working on a tree to go, okay, now just put down the tweezers for a second. What are you doing? What are you looking at? And how are you assessing that area? Because I'll get asked that when I have someone come into a workshop, I'll start doing something and they'll go, why are you doing that? What is it you're doing? And it's that approach that I use for putting together this podcast and everything that I do, where I stop and go, okay, well, that looks good. How did you do it? Why did you do it? What did you pick? Why did you choose those things? And that's where I come across, you know, like I said, I find it very therapeutic for me to sit back and break down what it is I'm going through and go, yeah, if it's too dense, you've got to thin it. That's a cool thing. Make sure you tell everyone that, because that's going to help everybody that listens to the podcast, you know. And if it's too long, you've got to shorten it. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, maybe someone that's sitting in wherever they're sitting with their tree and they listen to the podcast and go, you know what, that branch is too long, but I've got other stuff inside, so I'm going to reduce that branch back. Thanks very much for the tip. My bonsai looks $1 million, and I feel great. My bonsai journey has just got one step better because that little tip. So anyway, that's the intention. Enjoy the last little bit of autumn. There's lots of work to do around the yard as far as I'm concerned. It's a really, really busy time. It's a flat-out time for me. So I'm appreciating you taking the time to listen to this, no matter where you are around the world. It means a hell of a lot to me. And I hope that your bonsai journey gets that one step better from listening to this podcast and being part of this global bonsai community, the global bonsai crew that we are. It's not just Australian bonsai crew anymore, it's the global bonsai crew, because the love I get across all the different platforms, be it my YouTube channel or Instagram or the podcast, you know, this has got a far and wide reach. So thank you very much. We're all one and the same, these bonsai lovers, these bonsai freaks. I love it. So until next time, happy bonsai.